My name is Matthew Wayne Selznick, and this is Sonatotum, episode 68. Hello, my friends. On every episode of Sonatotum, we talk about making stuff, mostly writing, finding success as we each define it for ourselves, and staying healthy and sane in the process. Who am I to discuss such things? Well, I've been a professional author since 1998. I've been both traditionally and independently published, and I currently have over a dozen fiction and nonfiction works on the market. I've been a podcaster since 2004, and in that time, I've created or I've helped create 1,451 episodes and counting for myself and for others. Finally, I've been a creative services provider helping authors and other creators. That's the full-time gig since 2011. If you're new to the show, hi, welcome, welcome, welcome. I like to start each episode with a review of what's happened to me in my creative life since the previous episode, which was about a week ago. It is January 21st, 2023, as I record this from the lush and lavish studios of MWS Media in Southern California. Here's what's up. I've had a cold for about a week, so I've been deliberately moving with discretion and care and recognition that I'm not 100%. And if I'm going to get to 100%, I need to take it easy on myself, right? So I've mostly focused on client work this week because that's the one thing I can't not do, right? Got to make sure that the clients are happy and the bills are paid. And I have not done anything on my current work in progress, Shadow of the Outsider, which is the follow-up to my last novel, Light of the Outsider, and the novelette, The Perfumed Air at Kwanantag Bay. Did not get anything going there. And same thing with my free fiction serial that I offer to my mailing list subscribers and to my member patrons, Hazy Days and Cloudy Nights, how it all got started. I don't know about you, but when I've got a cold, when I'm sick, I just don't have the brain power to spend like I might normally. You can blame it on the NyQuil and the DayQuil for that matter. So I had to put what power I had in service of my clients because, you know, that's the stuff that cannot wait. Got to pay those bills, right? However, I did spend, about 6 hours across the course of a few days this week doing something very cool for the future of the podcast. And that is, I've begun recording interviews with other authors, and in one case, a playwright, with the intention that these interviews will go out on the public feed of the podcast sometime later in the year. The idea is that when my member patron count reaches at least 30 patrons per month, then every other episode of Sonatotum will feature one of these interviews. And I recorded three this week in order to have some stuff ready to go so that as soon as we hit that 30 member patron count, there's content. This week I have spoken to the authors P.A. Cornell, Joyce Reynolds Ward, and Monica Cross. P.A. Cornell is primarily a short story writer working in a number of genres. Joyce Reynolds Ward has a couple of series in the fantasy and science fiction and sort of historical fantastic fiction genres. And Monica Cross is a playwright with an emphasis, perhaps we should say, on speculative fiction for the theater. These were great conversations, guys. And I've got six more authors booked before the end of the month. And I cannot wait to be able to polish them up, get them all edited and cleaned up and delivered to you. But we need the patrons to support that endeavor because Each one of these interviews is about an hour long, give or take, and that takes a lot of time editing and making it right, you know, making it ready for prime time. And sad to say, time and energy, well, they take away from other things that take time and energy. And so I need the support of listeners like you to help make that possible. You'll learn more about the member patron program later in the episode. Stand by for that. But I would like to take this moment to thank my existing member patrons, my multiversalists, Chuck Anderson, Amy Bowen, JC Hutchins, and Ted Leonhardt. You guys are wonderful. All the patrons, I'm so grateful for you all. And you make a difference. Every one of these episodes, I'm thinking about you guys as I'm speaking into this mic. So thank you to my patrons. And once we hit 30 patrons, we're ready to go with those interviews out to the world of various authors talking about making stuff, finding success as they define it, and staying healthy and sane in the process. The talks I've had so far have been just golden, and I'm so excited about bringing interviews back to Sonitotum. So, yeah, wow. Okay, so that was, honestly, pretty much the week. The only other thing that, to follow up on something I mentioned in the last episode, I will be changing, this is a little technical note, I will be changing my podcast hosting arrangement for the first 67 episodes of this show. The media files, the MP3 files that get delivered to your podcast player, podcast app, whatever, however you listen to this show. The MP3 files have been hosted with Zencast. And I've discovered some unfortunate things about Zencast's service. I talked about it a little bit last episode, but basically I simply cannot use or recommend or endorse them anymore. I do have a couple of clients who use them, and for their purposes, Zencast is fine. For my purposes, it's not. So, first of all I need from any media hosting company is a place to store the MP3 files. Delivering the podcast, you know, every episode is, I don't know, about 15 to 20 megabytes in size. Delivering every one of those episodes to every single subscriber every week and every day takes bandwidth. And most regular web hosting providers aren't set up for that. And so it's commonplace for a podcaster to use a podcast hosting service. That's all I need from my podcast hosting service. Most podcast hosting services also provide the RSS feed, which is a special text file that is the instructions that tell your podcast app or player or however it is you get your podcasts, whether it's Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whatever, the RSS feed is what tells those platforms how to get the episodes and the show notes and all the other stuff that goes along with every episode, the artwork and all that. I use my own RSS feed, and it comes from my website over there at mattselznick.com. And it's got the complete show notes and the donation button and all the stuff that I want to represent every episode of the podcast. I don't need Zencast to deliver their own RSS feed. Well, guess what? I found out that's exactly what they do, even though I did not opt in to this, and there is no way to opt out. They submit their RSS feed to Google Podcasts and to a couple of other platforms, resulting in potentially people out there subscribing to the show through the wrong RSS feed. And more importantly for me, well, equally importantly for me, those people who are subscribing through the Zencast RSS feed are not getting the represented show in terms of the show notes and all that other stuff. It's the same audio file, but they're not getting all the other stuff, all of the branded stuff, as you would if you subscribed directly through my RSS feed. And honestly, if you're subscribed to Sonitotum, the way you can tell is if you open up the episode in your podcast player, your podcast app, what have you, You should see full show notes for every episode. Links to things that I talk about and text to the effect of the equipment that I use for every episode and the Creative Commons license associated with each show, all of that stuff. If you're not seeing that, you're not subscribed to the correct feed. And you can go to mattselznick.com and check out Sonatotum, you know, the podcast section of the site. And you can either copy paste the real RSS feed into the podcast app or player of your choice, or you can use one of the links there that I've got that will do it for you. Anyway, this episode of Sonatotum, episode 68, will not be hosted by Zencast. I have moved over to an object server, the cloud-based object server Amazon LightSail, to deliver the files to you. And I'm getting my analytics. Oh, that's the other thing. As far as I know, just about any podcast hosting platform worth its salt provides some analytics and gives you a way to export those analytics so that you can take a look at the raw data and have it for yourself. After all, it's your traffic. You should be able to have full access to it. Zencast does not do that. So another big strike in my mind. And I've worked with them. I have been in email contact with them. The only option I have, email contact with them for weeks, trying to get this resolved one way or the other. So going to have the files delivered through Amazon LightSail, which is fractions of a penny per download. And I'm going to have my analytics, my tracking done through PodTrack. I've already made the move to PodTrack and given them the RSS feed and whatnot. And I am in the process of uploading the old files to Amazon LightSail one by one by one and updating everything on my website. Bottom line is, if you are already subscribed to the proper RSS feed from mattselznick.com, again, just go to the podcast section of the site and you will see everything there is how to properly subscribe. You won't need to do anything different. Nothing differently will happen on your end, other than you might see some older episodes appearing in your podcast playlist as I make the move over, because I'm putting them all up there. I'm going to make every episode of the show from number one on available in the RSS feed. Anyway, that's a lot of behind the scenes stuff. It's been a little frustrating, but I feel like I've been a little misled by Zencasts, by what they do, what they offer. And I want to be clear, I am talking about Zencast.fm. There is another service, Zencaster, with an R, no E-R, but just R. And they are unaffiliated, and I don't really use them for anything, so I can't speak to them. But I'm not knocking Zencaster. I'm knocking Zencast.fm. And you know what? Zencast.fm, like I mentioned, they're perfectly fine for the clients that I have that use them. They're just not what I want. And I'm not too happy with the fact that they are doing things with my content that I did not explicitly give permission to them to do. Anyway, that's that. So thus far, since the beginning of the year, it's been my intention that every episode of Sonatotum, the main topic, rotate between the three pillars of the show: making stuff, mostly writing, finding success as we each define it for ourselves, and staying healthy and sane in the process. Now, this episode, we're going to focus on staying healthy and sane. Now, it might seem a little obvious for me to talk about what happens when you get sick and you're trying to create, because I've had a cold since the day before I recorded the last episode, episode 67. And it has definitely affected my productivity and my concentration. And as I mentioned earlier this episode, I haven't done anything really for myself in terms of my own creative works, my own creative writing projects. Not a word, barely any thought given to it. Because there's only so many spoons, as the essay goes, as the meme goes. And I'll have a link to that if you're not familiar with the spoons theory. I'll have a link for that in the show notes for this episode, episode 68, over there at mattselznick.com. Anyway, I could talk about that, but really what I want to talk about is kind of not letting things fester, if that makes sense. Now, I had an experience. There's been three things really that have happened just in the last week. The Zencast FM thing has been very frustrating and makes me angry, frankly. And then even though last week I talked about checking stats and analytics and numbers every single day, I've noticed when I do check that rather disturbingly, other than a single sale over at Drive-Thru RPG, which is a specialized ebook marketplace, and one library royalty for one of my fiction books, I haven't had a single book sale in all of December. And here we are, 3 weeks done in January. Not a single book sale other than those two. Now, I don't typically sell a whole lot every month, as I mentioned last episode. But usually, the usual suspects, a few sales trickle in here and there. So the Zencast thing, very frustrating, very irritating. The lack of sales, very disturbing. And then I had something happen with an old client of mine who has been talking about work that I did for him, but he's been misrepresenting the work that I did for him. I did a developmental edit that included line-by-line comments and suggestions related to that developmental edit. And he's telling people that I had done a line edit, as in a copy edit, as well as a developmental edit, which I did not do, and which I had explained to him clearly in the contract from over a year ago, and many times during the work that I did for him and before he paid for that work. And the problem is, and maybe I'm blowing it up, and maybe it really doesn't matter, but he's been telling a couple dozen people about this stuff, and in his words, to a person, they just can't imagine why I would offer both a developmental edit and a line edit, meaning a copy edit, before the client had had a chance to go through and affect the developmental edit notes, which is not what I did. My developmental edit involves doing a critical read of the entire manuscript, writing up a report sort of from a 10,000 foot view of the strengths and opportunities and challenges in the manuscript, talking with the client to go over that report, and then going through the manuscript, yes, line by line, and applying comments and suggestions, emphasizing and giving examples of the issues talked about, you know, but basically the critical read is the big overview. And then the inline comments represent literally using their manuscript to show exactly where and how those issues come in and where and how they can be improved upon and potentially changed. And then I give that over to them and we talk about it, and then they run off and they do their next draft based on all of those comments. That's not a copy edit. And it's especially frustrating because I have gone on record many, many times saying that the person who does a developmental comprehensive edit should not be the person who also does the copy edit. So this is a professional thing for me. It's a professional reputation thing. So I replied to his email. You know, he was asking, what was your philosophy behind doing both of these things before I had a chance to make changes? And so I had to, in great detail and in writing, explain where he was misrepresenting me, how he was misrepresenting me, pointing out where in our contract it states exactly what I was doing, which is not what he is representing that I did. I had to put it all in writing, knowing that he could potentially share that writing, that email, with other people. And I need to set the record straight. It's a matter of professional reputation. It's an ethics issue for me. All right, so what is this all three of those things, what does that have to do with staying healthy and sane in the process of building a creative writing life? Well, all that shit is distracting, man. It takes up mental space. Bad enough that my runny nose and my congested chest are taking up mental energy and physical energy. I don't need this other shit, right? But other shit comes up. Yeah. Other shit comes up. So I have been trying to think and trying to remember, honestly, what to do about that. And some of the things have been just remembering, as I've mentioned in other episodes in the past, to be grateful. And it really has helped to talk to P.A. Cornell and Joyce Reynolds Ward and Monica Cross in those interviews this week to hear other authors' perspectives without, you know, without me sharing my experiences, really. The point of an interview is to, at least the way I do it, is to have a directed conversation. But really, you're letting the interview guest do most of the talking. It's their wisdom we're looking for, their experience. And listening to them talk about their practice, their challenges, their emotional and mental health and physical challenges, and their ways that they stay healthy and sane, and their gratitude and their definitions of success has really helped me kind of take a mental breath, right? Kind of take a big deep breath in, hold it, and savor that input, savor that shared experience, and then release some of that angst and anger and frustration that I've allowed infect me with the exhale. Just get it out. Loosen up. Relax. I have done what I can do that's within my control to handle these mishaps and misunderstandings and things that have happened during the week. And that's all we can do, right? I am grateful for the folks I've interviewed for providing that input. I'm grateful for the people that I have interviewed. I'm excited about the six more people, even though it is going to be a hell of a lot of work. That represents, you know, somewhere between 12 and 15 hours, probably of total time when all is said and done. Yes, doing this podcast, as I have mentioned in the past, is kind of a part-time job, but I'm excited about the interviews to come and the perspectives that they're going to offer. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful to be reminded that my own concerns and frustrations, all ego-driven, right? All about wanting control in a way, are not the only way. And again, thinking about what I've done rather than what's been done to me, or what is perceived as having been done to me, right? Thinking about what I have done, the changes I have made that are in my power to make, has helped. Also, I think I mentioned earlier, and if I didn't, well, here it is. Taking cold medicine, taking NyQuil or whatever before sleeping, has resulted in, I don't know if you've experienced this, but cold medicine dreams, which you might get a good sleep, you might get a solid sleep, but how good is it? I can't be sure. So the last couple of nights, I have not taken any cold meds before bed, just kind of letting my body do its thing. And at least my dreaming has been a little more healthy, I think. Doing the things that I can control, right? And not allowing the things that are out of my control to take up emotional and mental energy. And I will admit, it's far more challenging to do the thing than it is to talk about or think about or know that I'm supposed to do the thing when it comes to my own mental health, when it comes to my own balance. But I am being reminded, again, by talking to my interview guests, and indeed, by talking to you on this podcast, it helps me to separate myself a little bit from what's gone on. When you have a week like this, that's what I would advise, is to do what you can about the things you can do something about, right? But to not cling too tightly to the stuff that's outside of your control. I cannot control how many book sales I have in a month, right? I cannot control what some former client from over a year ago or a year ago is telling other anonymous people. I can set the record straight as best as possible and in as many places as possible, but I cannot make him go and recant to those folks, even though I've asked him to. I have no way to control that. So I have done what I can. I'm not happy with the way Zencast FM has been treating my content. So I've done what I can. I'm leaving them. And for the stuff that I can't control, I gotta let it go. This is what I advise. The other thing that we can all do, right, is just keep making things. Whether you write every day or you write when you can, show up when you do show up. And put your valuable, limited resources to full effect on the things that you can do. It's what I keep telling myself. And it's what I have varying degrees of success in actually doing, right? But this is how we stay sane. You could be consumed by whys and what ifs and I wish this hadn't happened and why did this person or that company do this thing or that thing to me? When honestly, they're not really doing it to you. They're doing it for them in many cases. It's not about you. It's about what they want. So release it. Get yourself out of negative situations, if you can, in as many ways as you can, but you're not going to be able to control everything. So focus on the things that you can do. For me, this week, it's been showing up for those interviews and listening and actively directing the conversation and taking in what P.A. Cornell and Joyce Reynolds Ward and Monica Cross have had to say. It's been thinking about this episode. And in order to communicate things to you, I've got to look at myself and think about myself and, you know, what do I have to share that is of value and putting my energy toward that. You've had a rough week. If the bastards are getting you down, well, don't let the bastards get you down. And the best way to get back at the uncontrollable things in your life is to immerse yourself in the things that you can do. Make something. Help someone else make something. Add your unique, singular creative voice to the culture in some way. And do it with gratitude and do it generously. And, sure, I'll go out there and say it. Do it for love. I hope that helps. Hey, if you've enjoyed this or any other episode of Sonatotum, I've got three things that I would love for you to do for me to help show your support for the show. The first thing is, if you haven't already, wherever it is that you get your podcasts, please subscribe for free to Sonatotum. Just click that subscribe button for Sonatotum wherever it is that you might have heard this episode, wherever it is you get your podcasts. Next, wherever it is that you get your podcasts, I hope you'll take just a moment to rate and review Sonatotum. Tell the world why you enjoy the show and why other people should listen to it and subscribe for free. And finally, if you'd like to go the extra mile and you have the will and the means, I hope you'll consider becoming a patron of Sonatotum and my other creative endeavors. For just $5 a month, not only will you be a member of the Multiversalists community of writers and readers and creators, you will receive all kinds of special access, perks, and exclusive content, not least of which is the uncut, unproduced edition of every episode of Sonatotum. Just go to mattselznick.com/b-a-patron or visit patreon.com/mattselznick and pledge just $5 a month to support the show through your patronage. That's it. If you can do one or two or all three of those things, you'll be really helping the show and helping me reach more people with the Sonatotum mission of making stuff, finding success, and staying healthy and sane in the process. Thanks. So as always, folks, I welcome your feedback on this and any episode of Sonatotum. You can send me an email at matt@mattselznick.com. You can leave a comment in the show notes for this episode, episode 68, over there at mattselznick.com. Just click on the podcast menu item. It'll take you to the most recent episodes and click on episode 68 or page through if you need to do that. And you can leave a comment right there in the show notes for episode 68. Or you can email me a little voice message, maybe record one on your phone and just email that to me at matt@mattselznick.com. And when you do, I will play those in the show and respond in that way. And we'll have a little time shifted conversation. That's exactly what Multiversalist member patron Amy Bowen has done. And she's a superstar. She went and did it for 5 different episodes. Let's dive in and let's hear from Amy Bowen.
Hello, this is Amy Bowen. You were talking about how difficult it is to find an audience for novels that don't really fit neatly into the standards and conventions of any conventional genre. I wanted to share that many of my novels are like that too. I have one where, in terms of set dressing, like the kinds of characters and settings that appear, it's an Age of Sail exploration and adventure novel that's set on another planet that has sapient life in the oceans as well as on land, and has a story that's heavily focused on sociology and colonialism-induced drama. I also have what I've recently realized is essentially a political thriller, where the central political figure happens to be an alien who is the leader of a human extrasolar colony. Kind of like how you have a caper crime drama set in a big city that happens to be located in a medieval fantasy world. I loved Light of the Outsider, by the way. My point is, I'm with you all the way in wanting to tell stories that are different and that don't necessarily fit into genre boxes.
So, Amy, thank you for the feedback, the comment, and yeah, of course, I do. I feel your pain on that struggle. Thank you also for your kind words about Light of the Outsider. Definitely one of those types of books that simply doesn't fit into just one neat category. And I think so long as we're writing, dare I say it, a ripping yarn, so long as we're putting our unique spin in it and it is fascinating in and of its own right, you know, maybe what we're doing is by busting genres, we're creating a new genre. Maybe that's how genres are born. Personally, if I ever have a genre that I can actually claim, I mean, I don't know what I would want it to be called. I think ultimately the real and only classification we should each aspire to. Well, for me, it would be, yeah, that's a really Selznick-esque piece of fiction. Or for you, Amy, maybe it's, that other author that I read the other day really, really Bowenized everything. In other words, our works become so identified with us as unique to our own voice and passionately, explicitly, particularly our own, that others end up emulating it. Maybe that's the only genre ourselves that's worth being part of. Let's see what else Amy had to say. And this next comment is particularly to episode 58. So going a little ways back.
This is in response to episode 58, and or design a creative franchise around your fiction. Again, the answer to your question is yes. I do think of my writing in terms of story worlds. Once I sat down and made a handwritten list of all my novels that I could make available for sale if they were finished. I divided the list into science fiction and fantasy, and then within those genres further subdivided them into series and standalone novels. I think of each of those series and each of those standalone novels as taking place in its own story world. Specifically, in my mind, the series are the Mindscape series, the Torvalis trilogy, so named after the home planet of the central figure in that series, and the Relic series. Would I be happy to have other people play around in any of those story worlds?
Yes, absolutely I would.
So kudos to you for kind of laying all that out and thinking about those things in those terms. And I guess I wonder, at what point do we, as people with aspiring creative franchises, at what point do we lay the groundwork, both in terms of story Bibles and things like that, but also in terms of the legalities around it? At what point do we take action on that? I'm not sure. Some days I think that I could actually be a more successful creator if I worked more as a coordinator, a builder of universes, than as an actual author. But I love every part of the process so much that I don't think I could ever abandon one or the other. But yeah, keep going. And let's hear from Amy again with her feedback for episode 62.
Hello, this is in response to episode 62, How to Fix the Amazon Bookstore. I agree with you. It's really upsetting to me that books are now presented to people in the way that Amazon presents them. The physical bookstore or library model, which makes it possible for random books outside of what you normally read to catch your eye, is indeed better, in my opinion. I've discovered a lot of good books that way, mostly in libraries.
Thanks, Amy. I'm pleased to hear that you commiserate with me on what the rampant categorization and systems of taxonomy have done for just getting the right books into the hands of the right people and helping people to discover things that they might not even know that they would love if they just were encouraged to look a little bit outside of where they're guided. In that episode, How to Fix the Amazon Bookstore, I laid out some thoughts and some plans. It is far beyond me, my skills, my time, my priorities, unfortunately, to do more than suggest what could be done. But I look forward to maybe the developers and software engineers out there in the world to reach out to me and talk more about it and maybe get something done there. I don't know. Maybe I should just put something up on GitHub and let people fly with it. I don't know. But I'm glad to hear that you agree. I wish there was more that we could actively do about it. And here's the next one from Amy.
This is in response to episode 63, To Be a Hack or Not to Be a Hack. The answer to your question is yes, I do want my art to be actual art. I do want it to be an expression of my feelings, and of course, I hope to make my readers feel something as well. I do want to grow. I don't want to write the same thing over and over again. That's one of the reasons I look up to you and the other podcast novelists so much. You all did things that were new and different, and told stories that really grabbed me and pulled me in. I'm grateful for those stories. Thank you.
Amy, thank you for your kind words. I still chuckle a little bit at being referred to as a podcast novelist, since only my first book, Brave Men Run, way back in 2005, was released as a podcast. But clearly and obviously, it's had a long, long, long lasting impact. And, you know, you're an example of the impact that it had. And I will always be likewise grateful for people like you and folks who, fellow multiversalist J.C. Hutchins and Chuck Anderson, who have been around almost since those earliest days, if not since those earliest days. This is integral and central to what I mean when I talk about building community, building a reader community, folks who stick around, who believe in the art and the artist, not necessarily just are fans of individual works. It's how we build careers. It's how we ultimately change the culture. And if I have inspired you to create your own stuff and to make everything that you make to help you be better as a creator, then that's something I'll always be grateful for. And I have to wonder, I mean, now that I think about it, when I phrased the question, the sort of theme of that episode, you know, to be a hack or not to be a hack, how many people are actually going to come out and say, yes, I would like to be a hack. I would like to just write the same safe, predictable stuff. And I mean predictable in terms of, yes, this will definitely sell. This will definitely reach the same people who bought the last thing. And how many people are going to say, yeah, I would rather do that than challenge myself as an artist and grow as a creator? A pretty loaded question on my part. I would love actually to hear from somebody who does say, yes, that's exactly what I want. I don't care about necessarily changing the world or moving people beyond the few hours that it takes for them to consume what I've given them. I'd love to hear from somebody who is honest enough to admit that, you know? Having said that, I am very happy to hear when people like you, Amy, come forward and say, hell no, I want to make art. I want to change. I want to grow as an artist and move the people who experience what I create. All right, we've got one more from Amy.
This is Amy Bowen. I just finished catching up with all your Sonatotum episodes from September through December 2022. And I'm sorry I haven't spoken up before now. Why haven't I spoken up? In a word, time. See, Sonatotum is what I would absolutely love for my periodic podcast thread snippings to be if I had an extra 4 or 5 hours in the week. I would love to be able to give weekly updates on the things I create, specifically the costumes and crafty stuff I create, and then talk about some other topic that I think listeners might find valuable. As you know, of course, putting together a show like that is a lot of work, and more than I have time for. I don't normally have time to sit down and record feedback like this either, but I do have time right now, so here I am. Speaking for myself, your educated guesses about who's listening to your show are absolutely spot on. I do write, in addition to the crafty stuff I mentioned, and it is my desire and my goal to bring some of my original creative works to fruition, to market, and to an audience. I want you to know that I've really enjoyed listening to Sonatotum, and I've found it valuable in that it inspires me and encourages me to build a creative practice. I wanted to say thank you for recording it every week, and please don't stop. Bye for now.
Amy, thank you so much. It's so encouraging to hear that the show is having an effect. And yeah, I am using the 5 clips that you sent. I'm throwing them all in this episode in hopes that the other folks who are listening will see what it's about, what this means to send in feedback, how quick and simple it can be, whether it's on an individual episode or just a general thought about something I've talked about, the themes that I touch on. I hope that folks are encouraged by your example, Amy, to just take a moment or two. I mean, on average, your feedback has been, you know, less than a minute, really, when you get right down to it each time. Doesn't take much, right? To just open up the voice recorder on your phone, record a little something, a little thought about something you've heard here on Sonatotum, and then email that to matt@mattselznick.com. That's M-A-T-T. At mattselznick.com. I'll play the feedback in the show just like I've done with Amy's here, and it will spark perhaps future discussions that we have and even future topics on the show. But again, for now, Amy, once again, I gotta thank you so much for letting me know that the show matters to you, that you appreciate the time that goes into it. I can completely appreciate your choice to not do this because, yeah, it does take some time. It takes, right now I'm coming up on an hour of recorded time. Before that was about 20 minutes of thinking about the show and gathering up some things that I needed to, that I knew I wanted to mention. And then there's going to be, you know, another couple of hours, 2 or 3 hours spent bringing the show to a state where it's suitable to be released to the world, right? Including writing the show notes and uploading the files and editing the audio and all that stuff. Not in that order, of course. So again, Amy Bowen, multiversalist, $5 a month patron. Thank you so much for your continued support, your feedback, and your encouragement. You're the best. Well, there it is, dear listener. In a week of things that were outside of my control, things that were frustrating, things that were irritating, things that triggered bitterness and anger in me, whether it's the behaviors of a software company or the misunderstandings of an old client or my own stupid head cold sitting around in my bronchial tubes and creating distraction at the very least. It was also a week of inspiration and unexpected encouragement and all kinds of things that have brought vitality and excitement into my creative life. Those are the things that we have to focus on. Those are the things that energize us and help us move forward. And I hope that you are able to find those things in your own creative life every day and every week. And there it is. My name is Matthew Wayne Selznick. Take care.